Hi, this is Nick Gillespie, and this is The Reason Podcast. Please subscribe to us at iTunes, and while you're there, rate and review us. Let us know how we're doing. Today, we are talking with Kelly Chase and Carrie DePhillips. They are speaking to me. I'm in Ohio. They are somewhere in South America, Colombia, to be exact, Medellin. Best known for its drug cartels, and we'll get into that in a bit. But they are doing something called workationing. They have a website at workationing.com. And what they're doing is they're spending a year abroad working from wherever they find themselves, and they're going to a different country each month. So Carrie and Kelly, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Well, you know, let's get right to it. Carrie, why don't you explain what workationing is, you know, what it means and how you came to find yourself doing this?
Well, I own a PR agency, a digital PR agency called The Content Factory. I have 12 employees spread out over 7 states in the U.S. And for the last... Well, I guess since I was 22, I kind of had this idea. I became a freelance writer when I was 22 years old. And I came out of the advertising world where I had to go to an office every day. I had to fight through traffic there and back an hour each way. It took me about an hour to get ready.
And then you were selling your – were you also selling your soul along with cosmetics and toothpaste?
I was. I was selling my soul for cubicle life, and I really wanted to opt out of that. And I started dating this guy who wrote for AskMen.com when I was in advertising. And I wanted to know how he got his job because he just did the coolest shit. He would get paid to go all over the place and just write these men's interest stories. And I thought that that was a really interesting way to live. And I figured that I was a decent enough writer that I could probably develop the skill set to make writing work as a career for me if I worked hard enough at it. So I asked him, how do I break into this industry? I would really like to do what you do. And he told me that he wasn't going to tell me because... you know, it's really difficult. Everyone thinks that they can do it, and he's just tired of explaining it.
But so, mostly because he was just a dick.
Probably, yeah. I mean, that was the last time that I saw that guy. But the next day, I got on Craigslist, and I started going through all of the different freelance writing gigs and jobs that I could find in every city. And I did that in addition to my day job. And within, it took me about 2 months, I had enough work freelance writing that I could quit my day job. I was making more money freelance writing than I was at my day job, and I didn't have to get ready in the morning or commute or pay to park. So that was kind of the start of my digital nomad lifestyle, as it were.
Okay. And you were in Pittsburgh at the time?
I was in Pittsburgh at the time. But I would travel a lot then too. So that was around when I was really making the freelance thing work, was when Ron Paul started coming into the libertarian scene. Well, I guess not when he started, but it was around 2007. So I was going to all of these Ron Paul meetups, and then I basically became kind of a deadhead for Ron Paul, following him around the country while working along the way. And I was really fascinated by that lifestyle. The if I can work from anywhere, why don't I work from anywhere? And I've always had the travel bug, and I've just kind of built on that. And in 2010, I started my digital PR agency, The Content Factory. And I've worked, last year I worked from 10 different countries, but primarily I stayed at my home base in Manchester, New Hampshire. But for the last 3 years, I've been planning, how can I do an entire year abroad? What does that look like? Do I even want to? Is it sustainable? How do I make it sustainable? Am I going to like it? We'll find out. So January 1st of this year is when Kelly and I started workationing.
Kelly, where do you guys started out where?
We started out in Aguada, Puerto Rico, which was a little bit random, but ended up being a really great place for us to start. We're in Medellin right now, and this is just a really modern, urban, crazy city. It's just very kind of has a frenetic energy about it, whereas Aguada was this like sleepy little beach town. And I think that was a really great place for us to start because there's just a lot of learning and unpacking that has to happen when you're just completely untethering your life the way that we've done. And I think that was a really great place for us to start.
So tell me, you know, so workationing is obviously, it's a portmanteau of work and vacation. So, I mean, you're essentially, you can work from anywhere, and you want to travel everywhere. So you are, you know, bouncing around the globe. What does a typical day look like for you?
Well, we wanted, I do want to just kind of underline the fact that the whole goal behind workationing is to live life as intentionally as possible, or at least the goal behind workationing as we see it. So to that end, we've created a few rules for workationing that Kelly and I are using as the framework that we operate within as we travel around. So rule number one is you must make more money than you spend, because again, this lifestyle, we want it to be sustainable. Number two.
Okay, so that means the U.S. government really can't participate in workationing at all.
No. Not invited. Not invited. Uh-uh. They're not. Rule number two is you must travel light. I have learned that the hard way over the years. So Kelly and I are actually living for an entire year out of a carry-on, an international carry-on, which is smaller than U.S. carry-ons, and a personal item.
Which is a lot easier than you'd think, surprisingly. Miss anything.
Really? Well, and you're also, I mean, so you go from Aguada, Puerto Rico to Medellin, Colombia, and
it's not like you're pronouncing that like an Argentinian, Nick. We found that.
Yeah, well,
we found that out when we got here.
Yeah,
the people here are
I apologize to all of our fan in Colombia, but I mean, you're also traveling to places. It's not like you're going to the dark side of the moon or anything. You can also pick up stuff and leave it as you need it, right?
We have done some of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
We wanted to stay warm in the winter, and the weather here is absolutely beautiful. The weather in Aguada was wonderful. So we've been, our tank tops and swimsuits have been getting quite a bit of a workout.
Are you going to be only in tropical or subtropical climes, or what are the other countries that you've kind of laid out on your itinerary?
Our next stop is Sofia, Bulgaria. So that's going to be a little colder.
Yeah. What is the weather in Sofia? I just picture it as always gray, but that's from a kind of pre-end of the Cold War vision.
I think it's pretty snowy right now. We're hoping that when we get there, it's going to be a little warmer, but it's definitely, that's going to be the first time I think our carry-on wardrobe is going to be a little challenged. I think we're going to need to pick up some hoodies somewhere.
And you are, primarily you're staying at Airbnbs, right? Like, so you rent one out for a month at a time. Is that expensive? Or, I mean, can you talk brass tacks? You know, how much do you have a budget? I know at the workationing site, you talk about, you know, travel the globe or live around the world for $40,000 a year. How do you break down costs and things like that?
Well, this kind of ties into the third rule of workationing, which is that you must stay in one place long enough to accomplish a professional and personal goal, as well as a bucket list item. So Kelly and I, in addition to just kind of, we're not just traveling around aimlessly, we're actually trying to knock out bucket list items and really tackle kind of personal and professional, really hairy goals. So when you stay, the benefit of that from a cost perspective is that when you get an Airbnb, which is how that's the lodging provider of choice for us, when
right.
you get an Airbnb for a month or longer, you can get up to 60% off. And on top of that, you can negotiate for greater deals. So, for example, the place that we're staying in now, it's a penthouse in Medellin, Colombia. We're on the top floor. We have a corner unit. Floor-to-ceiling windows, rooftop pool, steam room, sauna, gym, really anything that you would need. This was originally, I think, $2,200 per month with the 30-day discount. I emailed and asked if he could go any lower, threw out some numbers. We went back and forth, and we ended up getting it for $1,980. So we saved, you know, an additional 10% just by negotiating. And
so
in my experience,
you're basically spending like $2,000 a month between the two of you on rent, which is actually, you know, if you're living in Boston or New York or San Francisco or LA, that's pretty much the going rate anyway, right?
Right. Right. And it's all utilities included. So, you know, if you were spending $750 a month on rent, you might also have gas, electricity, internet, that would take you over $1,000. So we're trying to kind of ball out on the same budget that we had back in the States. and seeing what that budget gets us around the world. And when you choose your location strategically, you can get some really sweet places for, you know, not much money. It's great.
Yeah, and I know at Workationing, at the site, which is workationing.com, you've posted pictures and Instagram videos and whatnot. I mean, you're not staying in a dump. You're staying in probably what I aspirationally I would think is would be the greatest living space that I've ever been to. So
we are fancy ladies and we are treating ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Cause we really could have done, we could have done it for much less here. We could stay in a very nice place in a good neighborhood here for about $700 mm-hmm. a month. But if for $2,000 you can stay in the baller suite, like really, why wouldn't you?
Yeah. And talk a little bit about the, you know, the bucket list items. I mean, and then we'll talk a little bit about the work part. But first, the vacationing. You on the site, you talk about Puerto Rico's bioluminescent bays. I assume that was a bucket list item to go and swim among the glowing green amoebas or whatever of the Gulf of Mexico.
Absolutely. And that's one that Carrie and I have we've sort of practiced at Workationing. We've had little stints where we have vacationed together several times in this way. And the Bio Bay was always at the top of our list. So I think that was one of the reasons we went to Puerto Rico first.
Yeah, what is the Bio Bay?
So it's a bay where a lot of bioluminescent plankton have all kind of gathered. Usually they get stuck there at some sort of a bay that's isolated in some way, and they get washed in and they can't get out. So they're there in very high concentrations. And anytime they're disturbed, they light up. So you go out in this boat and you can jump into the water and your splash lights up. And as you are swimming around, the water's lighting up around you and you can like lift your hands out of the water and you can just see it's almost like stars dripping off of your skin. It was just the most surreal and beautiful thing I think we've ever done.
I used to lifeguard at a beach in the Raritan Bay of New Jersey, directly across from Coney Island. And there were glowing green things in that water, but I don't think we wouldn't have said it was, you know, it wasn't stars dripping off your arms on the rare occasions you had to go in to save somebody. What about in Colombia? Have you done a bucket list item so far, other than snorting a massive amount of cocaine and then having heart attacks?
We have not had a heart attack yet. Okay. I'll give us that much.
Yeah, we've stayed a little clear of the cocaine. The cartels are just much scarier even than
God,
we thought.
God, they're everywhere. You cannot avoid them. You go on Tinder and the cartels are trying to find you.
That's from that one. Out here, actually, I think we are going to take a helicopter ride just because the Medellin is set down in this just gorgeous valley with mountains all around. And we have some pretty incredible views from where we are, but I think we want to hop on a helicopter and see it from there. Also, you can get on a helicopter ride here for $80, and that's for six people, and that's not per person. That's just for the whole kit and caboodle.
Wow.
So that's incredible.
I think we're going to go play paintball at Pablo Escobar's ruined mansion because you can do that here for not much money as well.
That's amazing. And yeah, I know from reading your blog and whatnot, you've been participating in the great Colombian national pastime of drinking beer and playing Tejo. You know, what is that?
Tejo is incredible. Tejo is kind of like cornhole for Midwesterners listening. I know I grew up playing a lot of cornhole, only instead of bean bags, you're throwing stones that are called Tejos. And instead of throwing it at a hole, you're throwing it at packets of gunpowder that explode when you hit them. And it's pretty much a requirement. Yes, and it's pretty much a requirement that you be drinking just heavily this whole time. And I have to say, it really is maybe the greatest sport ever invented.
Kelly is the LeBron James of Tejo, for sure.
If you add, you know, guns to cornhole, then, you know, that could sweep the certainly the Midwest, if not the entire country in the U.S. How does work on this? Because, you know, why aren't you just kind of fading into a, day long stupors where you're drinking beer and playing Tejo and, going out and in helicopter rides all day? Is it difficult to do the work, the work part of this?
No, we rise and grind every day. And another reason why we're spending an entire month at each location is because when you're traveling somewhere for a week, 10 days, maybe even 2 weeks, you feel a lot of pressure to get out and see all of the sights that you can and really take in the travel experience. But when you're staying in a place for a month, it's no big deal to hole up and spend 3 days straight working, which is something that Kelly and I regularly do. We also like the work that we do. We have cool jobs in digital marketing. Kelly is the queen of GIFs. Tweeting GIFs. And so it's not like work is something that we want to avoid in the first place. This whole thing is not a way to escape work. This is a way to really optimize and customize our lives. And take a look at, I mean, when you leave your home, people say that there's no geographical cure and wherever you go, there you are. But maybe they just haven't gotten weird enough with it yet. Because when you throw all of your stuff into a 10x10 storage shed and pack up your carry-on and travel around to different places and really soak in the culture and you're working along the way, it gives you the headspace to really evaluate your life and what is working, what isn't, what habits are you in, and what habits have you built that maybe some you want to keep, but removing yourself from the environment that you've just developed these habits that are either, you know, projecting you upward or spiraling you down. And maybe it's a little bit of both, but when you can remove yourself from that environment and objectively look at your life and figure out, well, what's working for me, what isn't, what serves me best, then you can start focusing your energies. I find it easier to focus my energies on what's serving me best and leave the habits and the things that aren't serving me behind.
I think it's really easy to not engage with your life when you're at home. I think that you can get into habits and you've I think that for most people, especially, I know this was the case for me, surviving was not a part of my daily life at all. And there's something really powerful, I think, about introducing that, because it's everything
Kelly, surviving was not part of your daily life. What do you mean by surviving?
I mean, you can just kind of go about your life and your life can just sort of happen. I know at home, I know where the grocery store is. I know how I'm going to get food. I understand the cultural context. I know how to keep myself safe. I know where I am. I speak the language, you know, so it, your life can just kind of drift along in a way that you can kind of get into autopilot. And I think that I've found that introducing this kind of element of survival, because Medellin is very beautiful. We're in a safe area, but this is also, there's a lot of dangers here and dangers that we don't necessarily understand and we don't really speak the language. We sure are working on it. And I think that when you introduce that into your life where you're kind of forced to engage, everything we do from going to the grocery store to everything else has a slight element of danger and also of problem solving. And so I'm just in my life every single day and it gives me the chance to really make decisions, to really be conscious of what I'm doing. And it does not give you the luxury of just going on autopilot. And I think that that's made me infinitely more efficient. And I think that I just see it in every part of my life. And I think it's a real advantage of this lifestyle.
So this is, I mean, you guys, in a way, I mean, and it's pretty stunning, actually, the idea of, people think about using Airbnb when the hotels fill up in New York or D.C., and I don't want to pay $600 for a flop house. But I mean, you're using Airbnb as well as cheap airline flights increase in global culture or globalization where it's easier to travel the world than it used to be for the most part. But you're part of a tradition, whether it was the expats who left the United States and went to Europe in the 20s after World War I to live cheaply there, whether it was hippies dropping out and, going to India or forming ashrams in the middle of nowhere. A lot of Europeans as well as North Americans went to the former communist Eastern Europe after the Berlin Wall and the Soviet Union fell. You guys are part of what is usually talked about as a community of digital nomads. Talk a little bit about the digital nomad phenomenon. And does that help give you something of a safety net or an in-group when you show up in a place that you've never been before?
Yes. Yes. So actually the reason why we found Medellin on Reddit, in the digital nomad forum on Reddit, because we're looking at where are all of the digital nomad hotspots? So digital nomads are people who leverage technology to free themselves from cubicle or office life. So, you know, whether you're a freelance writer or a designer, there are all kinds of different jobs that you can have that you can do from your computer and do from anywhere. And so digital nomads specifically leverage that lifestyle to be able to travel wherever. And there are hotspots, and they tend to congregate wherever life is good and life is cheap. And Chiang Mai out in China is probably the number one digital nomad hotspot. The problem with that for us is that that puts us all the way on the other side of the world. And I have clients and employees that I need to talk to on a regular basis, and I would rather not be doing that at 3 o'clock in the morning. So Kelly and I have limited ourselves to a plus six from EST. So that is Sofia. That's all of Europe, basically. Right. And digital nomads is a trend. 37% of the U.S. workforce telecommutes. That's four times more.
At least part of the time.
Part-time, I mean, on average. No. Right. Yeah, on average is about 2 days per month. There aren't any real statistics about how many digital nomads there are, largely in part because people who live this lifestyle might not know that they're called digital nomads, just as people who are socially conservative or fiscally conservative and socially liberal might not identify as libertarian, but whenever they take one of those tests, that's where they end up.
They might be like your dick of a boyfriend who was like, well, I'm doing it, but I'm not going to tell you how to do it because it'll spoil it for me.
Exactly.
Yeah. There's also just a lot of sex tourists, to be honest with you. And are they digital nomads? It's hard to tell.
We don't know. We run into them at the pool, but
I guess
are
it depends
American.
If they use their hands a lot or not, right?
Right.
What do you mean by sex tourists, Kelly? And is that a lifestyle or is it just people popping down for? Do they go for a month at a time to Medellin to savor the tourism there?
I think it's a little bit of both. We've definitely encountered people who have made this sort of sex tourism a lifestyle. That's the thing when you get into one of the swankiest buildings in a place like Medellin, is that you just meet all kinds of people. And we, as ladies, were kind of shocked and a little offended we weren't invited to this party, because there are just a whole building full of gringos out here who have, for decades, just sort of lived in these swanky places and availed themselves of just the finest prostitutes that Colombia has to offer. And let me tell you, they are really top shelf, from what I can tell.
A+, from what we've seen at the pool.
From what we've seen at the pool frequently. And so there are a lot of people who are living that lifestyle. And that is not something that I was even aware of, but it is very much, very much visible and the case down here.
How does it work for money? I mean, obviously, you guys are working, you're making bank every month and stuff like that. How do you, I mean, are you tied into your, ATMs in the U.S.? Are you taking cash out? I mean, you know, just on a very basic logistical level, how is that working out so far?
Well, one of the first things I did was got a fancy travel credit card that came with a priority pass, which is this cool little card that gets you into hundreds of swanky airport lounges around the world where the Wi-Fi is just the speediest. And if you want to take a shower, you can do that. And if you'd like to pour yourself a free pint glass of bourbon, that's also an option. So in addition to the priority pass that my credit card came with, no foreign transaction fees, obviously all of the protections that come with a credit card. So when at all possible, we've been using our credit cards and then just paying off the balances. Cash, especially out in Medellin, we have found you really need to travel with at least some amount of cash. So we just use our regular ATM cards.
Wow. Basically what you're talking about, this is a keyhole into, a world of kind of high-flying expats that one would have assumed you needed to be James Bond or Donald Trump or, a Princess of Monaco to tap into, but it's surprisingly affordable and accessible.
Yeah. I mean, I think that to a lot of people, it's hard for us to know exactly what we look like to people here, but I know at home we look like potentially a soccer mom. And this is very accessible to just about anybody. I mean, there aren't a lot of American ladies out here. I think once they hear about it, I think there's going to be a lot more women who want to do this. Absolutely.
And, you know, with that, you guys are traveling together partly because you're single women, so that, I mean, it makes it easier to, you know, stay in a kind of safe situation.
You know, we are just vacillating back and forth as to how safe we actually are traveling together as two women, mm-hmm. because it depends. And, you know, out here, the cultural norms are a lot different than in the U.S., whereas, you know, my white lady privilege as a blonde lady driving a nice car really gets me just about anywhere I need to be. It's like an Amex card in the U.S. And out here, it works to our disadvantage because women don't go out by themselves in Latin American countries, from what I've seen. Not very much, not very often.
And they don't go out by themselves or with other women.
No.
Right.
No, so we're kind of sticking out a little bit. Plus, obviously, we're gringas, and they're quick to tell us that. Like, we didn't know. We're fully aware. I don't think that the world is really certain. I don't want to say the world. I don't think that too many people in these cities are accustomed to female travelers coming out and, you know, living this way, the way that the men have been out here living. And we see it in the digital nomad meetups that we go to. We see it in our building. And there are a lot of commonalities between the digital nomads and, you know, just the kind of lifestyle travelers, we'll call them. But really what the key undertone is that a lot of people just want to opt out. They want to opt out of the U.S. They want to opt out of the political system. Traveling really enables you to opt out of the headspace that the Trump presidency occupies.
Tax season is starting to swing into full view. And what you are paying U.S. tax, I assume, on the income that you make, because the U.S. taxes on a worldwide basis, I believe.
Yeah, it absolutely does. Yeah. Womp womp.
Sucks.
And we're finding out that to expatriate is just really expensive. They don't want you to renounce your American citizenship. And I think, mm-hmm. was it Roger Ver, the Bitcoin guy? He renounced his U.S. citizenship, paid all of the taxes, wrote a fat tax check, and then was denied reentry into the U.S. So there are potential consequences beyond just the fiscal consequences of renouncing your U.S. citizenship, and that, like, if your mom gets sick and you want to come back to visit her before she dies, the government might tell you no.
What is the, talk a little bit about digital nomads. What's the demographic? You mentioned it. I mean, I assume it's more male than female, but what's the age range? Are there people with kids, floating around in the digital nomad community as you've encountered it so far? Or is this mostly for people without that kind of attachment?
I think it is definitely heavily male. I would say it's a lot of probably late 20s, early 30s. There are some couples, there are some single female travelers we've met out here. They don't seem to be doing it quite as long term. There are a lot of couples, women who are traveling with their significant other, but for the most part, it's single men.
You find a lot of programmers, some of the women that we have met who are traveling independently at the meetups. So they teach English. We met a cam girl who travels the world. Being a cam girl, living that life.
And meaning she performs sex acts on camera.
Yep. Can do that from anywhere. App developers, writers, just anything that you can do from home. You find just all kinds of professions in the digital nomad space, but mostly it's men, I would say, followed by couples, followed by single women.
And not children. We haven't seen kids.
Not so many children.
Yeah.
There are some, very few.
Okay. Well, let me ask, Carrie, I know that you moved to New Hampshire to be part of the Free State Project. You were a mover, like, ahead of time. You weren't even waiting for the, the big summoning when 20,000 people pledged to move to New Hampshire. Talk about what you're doing here with Workationing and kind of the digital nomad community as an extension of that small L libertarian sense of intentional community and of kind of conscious life.
Well, so I guess taking it back to the Free State Project, I signed up for the Free State Project when I was a sophomore in college. So that puts me at 2002, 2003. It took me about 10 years to move, but I thought about it the whole time. And the reason why I just wasn't going to give up New Hampshire was because for me, it came down to not just living intentionally, but living with integrity. And if you really believe in limited government and personal freedom, and you see that there's a group of people congregating to make that happen, at least in one area of the U.S., how can you not participate in that? So obviously I signed up, I went there, and I've been living there for the last 4 years. All of my stuff is still there. My business, I moved my business there. My permanent address, still in New Hampshire right now. And I still very much love that community. In getting into the digital nomad community, I find so much of the same sentiment, just the, you know, I don't like what the government is doing. I do want to opt out. And they're opting out by physically removing themselves from the U.S. and becoming global citizens instead of U.S. citizens. And I see a lot of resentment toward the U.S. and toward the policies of the U.S. that really keep the citizens tied to the country. And, you know, we've had several conversations with people about, like, really who owns you? And do you own yourself? And what's the best way to own yourself? And how do you engineer a lifestyle for yourself that suits your needs and desires and wants and goals in the best way possible? And for me, right now, living as a digital nomad is the best way to achieve that personal freedom and flexibility.
But you also don't have to do it outside of the U.S. necessarily. I mean, obviously you are, but if you're leaving from, you know, say New Hampshire, I suspect Colombia, my geography is pretty shitty, but Colombia is probably closer or as close as Seattle or San Diego. So you could also adapt it to, you know, just staying in the U.S. and Canada, if you wanted to stay in North American English-speaking countries, et cetera.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I've done that for years. I mean, I have, I think I'm up to 40 states that I've worked from in the last decade. Haven't been to Alaska yet, but it's on my bucket list. So Kelly and I were talking about maybe having a U.S. leg of workationing, not this year, but maybe next year, and see what that looks like. But again, talking about elevating your lifestyle, when you take U.S. dollars to Medellin, Colombia, or to Sofia, Bulgaria, they go three times further.
Yeah, do you want an $11 surf and turf at just the best restaurant in town? You'll be surrounded by cartel heads, but man, will it be good.
An ounce of weed costs $60 here, and they will deliver it to you.
They sure will.
Well, they'll even smoke it for you on the way, I suspect, but
They will not. No.
Kelly, what do you, I mean, you're about 2 months into this and you've got 10 months to go. What do you miss so far? Or do you miss anything about your old life from in Akron, Ohio, of all places? Which is really, I mean, you know, when most people, the place they see right before heaven is Akron, I'm assuming.
Right.
What do you miss the most?
You know, I don't miss much about just the day-to-day of my life. I'm happier and more fulfilled and just more peaceful, despite just the constant threat of danger out here, than I've ever been in my life. The things that I miss, though, Carrie and I joke about feeling more patriotic than we've ever felt, which is not in the sense of, you know, in terms of the U.S. government, but man, do we just miss our fellow Americans.
Yeah. It's well, really, and you feel more American, right? You never know how American you are until you travel to a foreign country, really.
Absolutely. And just the ability to just be a woman who is visible out in the world, cackling over her white wine in a restaurant, you really take that for granted because they do not look kindly upon that here. So that's been a little jarring. And you just miss talking to Americans. Actually, when we went to go play Tejo, that was with just a whole bunch of gringos. And there's really something comforting after months on the road of just being sitting at a table or being in a group of people who are American and who will speak English to you, and you all kind of have the same understanding culturally. There's not these like layers of decoding that need to go on, you know, in terms of language and culture. And that's really comforting. So it makes me appreciate more what we have in the U.S., despite all obviously the problems that we have. There's a lot. The U.S. has a lot going for it, And I don't think I understood that until I got out here.
Carrie, so you're going to Sofia, Bulgaria next. Do you have more of an itinerary mapped out, or you know, where else are you expecting to hit over the coming years?
Well, we're really excited to go hit up Sofia because we're going to meet up with Zach and Josh Harvey. They invented the world's first Bitcoin ATM and have been dear friends of mine for years now. But they found Sofia, and I guess Sofia has a very large libertarian community, as well as just a very large community of people who are very into Bitcoin and digital currencies in general. So we're going to go scope that scene. Kelly is going to get her first Bitcoin.
So excited.
She's going to lose her Bitcoin virginity in Sofia, Bulgaria. And then we have scoped out just the most incredible place in Spain. And it is a mansion that has 4 bedrooms, 4.5 baths, an infinity pool that looks out over the Mediterranean, a second pool in case, you know, you get tired of the infinity pool. And so that's where May's going to be. And my birthday is on April 20th. So I think that there's probably no better place to spend that than in Amsterdam, which is what I did last year. So I'm going to go revisit that scene. And I think we want to do Portugal, right, Kelly?
Yeah, I think Portugal. And then we've got to pop back to the States for a big client meeting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've got to go to San Diego in July. And I think we're also going to hit up Freedom Fest in July as well.
Hmm. Wow. So, I mean, you can really bounce around. But it's... it's the work vacation balance, right? That is, you know, is always kind of forthright in the situation.
Absolutely.
Right. We're not watching a lot of movies or TV shows out here. Although we did start Narcos. We thought that it would be fun to watch Narcos in Medellin. So we're doing that. But all of our time is really focused on working and then creating these amazing experiences for ourselves. And we're just taking ourselves out on bachelor date after bachelor date and not spending much money doing it. To go out to the Bio Bay cost $120 to charter a boat for 6 people. And then we had the whole place to ourselves and we got to, Angela Keaton was there. We had a great time, jumped in the water and...
Well, and you are to kind of bring this conversation to a close, which I think is really motivational and inspiring. The website is Workation, WorkationIng.com. You've also got a podcast. Is Workationing the best place for people to follow your adventures?
Yes. Listen to the podcast. We had a really great interview with Angela Keaton of Antiwar.com. That is the most recent podcast that I think that listeners would probably be into. But we've just been documenting the whole process on the podcast from idea inception. Because when I wanted to come out on Workation as a single lady, I just didn't feel comfortable traveling the world by myself. So then I had to find somebody who is similarly untethered and, I guess, adventurous and crazy enough to come out on this adventure with me. So...
All right. Well, we will leave it. We will leave it there. Carrie DePhillips and Kelly Chase of Workationing.com. You know, kind of living the digital nomad lifestyle, the untethered lifestyle, opting out, I guess, instead of dropping out. Right. It's a really interesting extension, I think, of kind of intentional communities and self-actualized living. Thank you, Carrie and Kelly, so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nick.
This has been The Reason Podcast. I'm Nick Gillespie. Thank you for listening, and please subscribe to us at iTunes. Look for The Reason Podcast. Rate and review us while you're there. So long.